Welcome, and thank you for listening to Grace Heritage Church Audio, Building a Household of Faith on a Foundation of Grace. Visit us online at graceheritage.org. Please stay tuned after the message for more information.
If you would, please open in a copy of God's Word to 2 Thessalonians. It's a little over halfway through your New Testament. I'm grateful for the opportunity to get to preach to y'all today in the coming weeks. It's a healthy exercise. I've never had the opportunity to try to preach through the entire book of the Bible before. And in trying to think about, well, which book should I preach through, I just picked a really, really short one. That was the idea. 2 Thessalonians is the fifth shortest book in the Bible. And I thought, so that should be safe, very good place to go, and just reading through it, studying it. I realized that before we're done, in the coming about 8 weeks is the plan, I'm going to have to preach sermons on what books are supposed to be in the New Testament, what hell's like, how to know when Jesus is coming back, why there's probably no such thing as the rapture, why the Catholic view of papal authority is wrong, why more pastors need non-ministerial jobs, and who we should kick out of our church. So this is just going to bless your heart, all right, in the coming weeks. This morning, perhaps a little less controversial. We're just going to be asking the question, why was 2 Thessalonians written? What was the purpose of 2 Thessalonians? And when we try to address a question like that, especially with a book like this, you can answer it two levels, kind of a more specific 2 Thessalonians is what we have in mind level. Well, okay, Paul and these others, they had some things that he wanted to address with the church at Thessalonica, so he wrote this letter, and he's commending them and encouraging them in the face of persecution, and he's trying to help them understand some correct some false teaching that they had about the second coming of Jesus, and he's going to admonish them that some idleness has creeped in because of some of these false teachings, and say you don't need to be idle. So we can kind of give that kind of broad overview of the things he's going to address to them. But there's another even broader answer that I think we see here in the text, and that's what we're going to be focused on this morning. I think the answer is found in the opening, welcoming, so to speak, of the letter and the closing. So I'm going to read for us, firstly, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Follow along with me. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll jump with me to the end, chapter 3, verse 16, this sign off, this conclusion. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. This is the sign of genuineness in every letter of mine. It is the way I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. These lines, studying this, I said, you know what, that sounds familiar. I'm pretty sure Paul says that in some of his other letters. So let me go look, which letters does he say that in? So I'll go back to Romans. Let me go to 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Ephesians, Galatians. Look, in every single one of Paul's letters, unless you think he wrote Hebrews, but so all but one maybe, or all 13, Paul begins and ends every single one of his letters with this greeting and this benediction. A little bit of variation. Sometimes he says, mercy, grace and mercy be with you. Sometimes he gives this about the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. But every time specifically are these phrases, grace to you, grace be with you. 13 for 13. Some examples, don't flip there, Romans. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 16, verse 20, the grace, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And maybe all the way to Philemon, which by the way is shorter than 2 Thessalonians, just to a couple individuals. He writes a letter and he still begins and ends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 25, the last verse of the letter, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. You might go look up the rest later. Why so specific? Why so precise? Grace to you, grace be with you. And I hear Paul saying, grace to you. Grace is coming to you. Something's about to come to you. It's grace. Well, what comes next? His letter. What he has to say to them. And then he finishes. He says, grace be with you. I just delivered grace. It's going to be with you. What did he just deliver to them? He delivered to them what he said. And so you have these bookends of grace, and he's communicating to us what comes in the middle is God's word. And so I'd say very, very simply, very broad answer. Why was 2 Thessalonians written to the church at Thessalonica? The same reason that every other one of Paul's letters, and you could say every other canonical book, was written. It was to deliver grace to the people of God. This is good news. This is good news, friends. So what are you in need of? Like, what are you in need of? Do you have a disappointment in your life? Have you been let down? Struggling with some sin of yours? Feeling weight from guilt? Some sort of shame in your life? Fear? Anxiety? The Bible, it has a grace for that. There's a promise. There's a account of something God did in history. There's a warning. There's a instruction. There's a truth. There's a doctrine for you that's grace and peace to you. Many of you probably have heard this before. When I think of what we get from the Word of God for our lives, for our walk with the Lord, I think a very close analogy here is to eating food. You may have heard this. What food is for your body, grace, in this case, the Word of God, is for your soul. Yes, there are these moments where I sit down and it, you know, the food comes to me. I taste it. It's a little bit more, I'm in direct contact with it, but yet it sticks with you, right? That's what's sustaining you. It's with you the rest of your day, providing you the nutrients, the calories, the energy you need. And so there are meals, right? And there are snacks, and there's everything in between. There's this, hopefully, this sermon. There's when you read it on a day-by-day basis. Maybe there's touch points throughout the day. That's how it needs to be for your soul to be healthy. Right? Do you eat, you know, once a day? Right? Yeah, right, hobbits, okay? Right? There's breakfast and second breakfast and 11Zs and lunch and afternoon tea and dinner and supper, okay? And that's how it's identical to the Word of God. The Bible uses that analogy in 1 Peter chapter 2, right? He says, crave the spiritual milk that by it you may grow up into salvation. Like newborn infants, crave spiritual milk. And if you look at the verses right before there, you know he's talking about the Word of God. That's what he means by the spiritual milk. Think of that, all right? First century, there's no such thing as formula. Newborn infants have one option. There's one thing that brings them the hydration and the nutrients they need to survive, and it is their mother's milk. There is one thing, friends. There's one thing for your soul. There's one thing to feast on. A diet of one. It is the Word of God. This is how God supremely, primarily delivers grace to you. You say, well, hold on. Well, what about prayer? Sure, that's talking to God, and this is how He talks back to you. So prayer, Word, is the communion. Well, what about singing? Yeah, well, guess what a good song is, right? What are you singing about? Who are you singing to? Okay, well, what about fellowship? What about the Word of God laces all of it, okay? All of it. It's infuse it. That's how God delivers grace to us. Think how critical this is. Like, I was thinking about this. I asked this question recently in a Bible study. Like, if someone offered you $1 million, $10 million, to go 2 months eating food, would you do it? Right? And the answer is no, because $10 million isn't any good to you if you are dead, okay? It is your life. It's worth more to you than that. There are people who are living and they are dead, okay? They are dead because they don't have any nutrients, nourishment for their soul. Jesus is our model here. 40 days he went without food. 40 days. Would not go one instant without the Word of God. That is what sustained him through that time. That was his diet and ought to be ours as well. I would say there's even more here. We can say a little bit more about this. Let's read verse 2 again. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the almost Trinitarian blessing. God our Father, Lord Jesus Christ. Where is the Holy Spirit? Where's the Holy Spirit? Maybe it's not Trinitarian. When we think about the Holy Spirit's relationship to the Word of God, though, we have 2 Peter, which tells us that it's the Holy Spirit who carried men along to write the words. Maybe you think of 2 Timothy 3:16 that says all Scripture is expired, God breathed. And most of you already know the Hebrew Greek words for breath and spirit are the same. There's a tie there. There's an absolute tie it's meant to feel. And think more specifically what Jesus says. He says this a bunch about when John a lot about leaving the Spirit within the promise of it's good for me to go, I'm going to send you the Spirit. Listen to this particular time he's talking about it. He says, Jesus says to his disciples, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. It's very hard to say, well, how does this work? What's the science behind it, the metaphysics behind it? I don't know. But what the Scriptures are telling us in very profound ways that when the Word of God to you and with you, is the grace and peace of God to you and with you. That's what we just said a second ago. And thinking about this theology that we have in the New Testament and the Old as well, you realize that that's the same thing as the Holy Spirit, God Himself, to you and with you. To you and with you. Let me read theologian John Frame and how he says this. He says, so the Word is God. And when we encounter the Word of God, we encounter God. When we encounter God, we encounter His Word. We cannot encounter God without the Word, or the Word without God. God's Word and His personal presence are inseparable. His Word, indeed, is His personal presence. Whenever God's Word is spoken, read, or heard, God Himself is there. This is a Trinitarian blessing. Okay, I want very badly at some point, I'm playing on somebody else's title, I want to write an essay called Defending Something Close to Bibliolatry. You ever heard this accusation against conservative fundamentalists? Oh, you're committing bibliolatry. You idolize the Bible. You idolize the Bible, and that's their way of saying you take it too seriously or something like that. So much more to say here. Firstly, you can't cherish a love letter too much. Right? If your spouse write you a love letter, is it possible to like it too much, appreciate it too much? Okay, any appreciation or affection you have for that letter is really just a appreciation, affection for the person, is it not? Okay? So, even more so, though, okay? Even more so, we're not just merely reading a love letter. We're certainly not just reading an autobiography. Okay? When there is a spiritual reality to this revelation, the words on the page, God's revealing Himself, we are spending time with Him in the Word. Okay? We're coming in contact with God's Word, this grace to us. How does God deliver His grace to you? What is that? Is it something? Is it a gift of His? Right? Car, forgiveness, reconciliation? What is it? It's Him. His grace to you is Him. Okay? I remember that's the build-up in Romans 5 of saying, oh, more than this. Oh, you've gotten forgiveness. It's, oh, more than that, you're getting sanctification. Oh, more than that, you're getting reconciliation. And more than that, you get God. All those things are God. Getting forgiveness is getting God. Getting this grace that comes to us is just getting Him. You can't, in a way, yes, okay, could you care about this book? You're really excited about this book because you like it the way the Pharisees did. Like, you like getting your identity and being a religious person, right? And you, so you always have a verse for someone to cut them down. You always can win an argument. Information. But that, well, that's not appreciation for the Bible at all. Like, that's not what it is. Okay, so if that's what you mean by bibliolatry, fine. I wouldn't call it that. Okay, call it something else. But the point is, to cherish this book is to cherish Him. So, like, all right, so maybe there can always be breakdown in communication, but maybe you're still going, well, what's the big deal? Why is this a good thing then? Why is this grace to me? Why is God's, I don't care that God's word's grace to me. I don't care that God, getting God is grace to me. What's the big deal? And it's kind of going, well, that's hard to put into words. Like, if someone asked me, why do you enjoy hanging out with your friends? You know, when you're scared and alone, why do you like it when someone else shows up? Should, you know, you drive to the Grand Canyon, you get your friends out, and someone goes, so what are we doing here? What are we doing? This is what we're doing here. Just look. It is good. Do you want to be with Him, the Creator? Right? God, the perfect, the always existed, bigger than the universe, made everything. Listen to the sermon last week if you don't understand. And He knows you, and He will talk to you. He will be with you yourself. You're wired up to be with other persons. You are a person. You're wired up to be with it. And supremely, you're wired up to be with the supreme persons. That's the end for which you have been made. And you can by going here. We go to the Bible. Why? Because it's the Bible. It's the meal. It's the company of the meal. Right? That's why we go to it. Now, so question that kind of hit me and going, well, when are we going to get some application or something like that? I thought the question is, well, why do we all neglect it? No one treats this Bible as we ought. We should be falling over ourselves to get to this thing. And so why having it? Do we take it so lightly? Why do we ignore it? And these are not deep, deep heart things I'm about to go through. So in a way here, I'm saying, I'm talking specifically to Christians. Here's some, I think, practical advice to Christians. If you're not a Christian here, the issues are probably deeper than this. And our last point, I hope, will also, you'll find applicable. Okay, so Christians, why do we ignore a free ticket to so great a feast? One, well, I've just got too much on my mind. I'm distracted. And this is my biggest one. I can sit down every morning. I'm very thankful. I'm blessed with a very flexible schedule. I can sit down with this thing. And I can read it out loud for 15 minutes and not have a clue what I read. My mind can be going, I got this to do, I got this to do, I got to get onto this, I got to go accomplish that, Guys, very practical. Sit down with this book and a notepad, get a pen, and every time something comes to your mind, jot it down. I got to do that. Pray, commit it to the Lord. God, help me to succeed, accomplish that later, but now I want to be with You. Help that not be on my mind. Write it down. Have a spot. Go to the same, insofar as you can. Have a spot in your house. A chair. It doesn't have to be a room, right? A chair, a closet, you go. And that's all you do there is read. It doesn't have to be just the Bible. But that's the only thing you do there. You don't do other things in that chair. You read in that chair. Okay? That can help some people. There's a psychological thing that can help. Journal or take notes while you read. Okay, I'm not a huge journaler, but when I have a pen in my hand, I don't even have to be writing. If I have a pen in my hand, I underline and I make little notes, not because I go back and look at them later. It just helps me pay attention. Okay? It just helps me pay attention on what I'm doing. If you need some people, reading out loud works for them, using something else that's spoken. So I get on ESV.org and I can hit play. And it reads it out loud and I read it while it's reading it. Okay? Little things that try to help you stay focused, which is so distracted, and that's fair. We've got lots of things coming to us. We have to train ourselves, take advantage of some of these things so that we can pay attention. Second, the most common one that people will admit. Okay, this is maybe not the most common one, the most common one that we'll admit, I just don't have the time. Oh, Brandon, you could just sit down every morning and read. Oh, that would be great. I wish I could. I don't have time for that. Most common one said, and it's the worst one of all. Friends, I got lots of things here that could be said, right? First off, God has a very basic structure to your week that should help. You have Sunday. You have the Sabbath principle. Take a day off. God has said to you, you don't have to accomplish anything one day a week. So all those people you wish you could hang out with, the family time you wish you had, the books you say you can't read, read them. Okay? And if you haven't had a solid, uninterrupted hour in the Word that week, then don't hang out with me on Sunday. Okay? Open this book up. Be with Him. Be with Him. Insofar as it's within your power, unless circumstances keep you from doing otherwise, I would say make it Sunday. Make it Sunday this day. Pastors and people like that, policemen maybe, maybe nurses, occasionally Sunday can't make it, but one day a week, block it out. You need not just granola bars. You've got to sit down and eat a meal occasionally. Okay. Sunday's not enough, though, because you don't just eat a meal one day a week. There's something every day you must do to be healthy. Staying alive is not the goal. We want to be healthy, fruitful. That's the goal. Okay, so every day, what's your problem? I can tell you mine. It's easy. Addicted to TV. Addicted. And friends, there's a very easy solution. I have not owned one in 10 years. It's very simple. You can ask my family. I go to Claire's mom's house. I go to my parents' house. And I just am absorbed by it. Okay? I'm addicted. But we then be disciplined, because I'm not disciplined, so you have to be disciplined ahead of the fact. Get rid of it. I make this real practical, right? Almost all of home games, almost all of Auburn's games are streamed online. Okay? That's the only reason you need a TV. Okay? Almost all of them are streamed online for free without any cable subscription. For the ones that aren't, some of them on a cable package, you can go to Buffalo Wild Wings or wherever and watch it there on Saturday. You can take something over to your friend's house and watch it there. Guess what non-Christians are doing on Saturdays? Kill multiple birds with as few stones as possible. Okay? Go over there and watch the game. It's not mooching, okay, if you bring your own stuff. I'm glad Brandon Elliott's not here because he knows I never bring my own stuff. But preachers have to call people to standards that they themselves cannot keep, okay? I'm really serious, right? Because it's a lot of people, TVs are issues. It's not just mine, okay? Wow, internet, cable, they offer internet-only packages. Right? There's a lot of people who don't do that. Okay, they offer internet, $30 a month, 30 megabits a second. You and I can probably get a refer-a-friend discount thing going. Like, there are options. Oh, maybe internet's your problem. There are these necessities. It doesn't have to be just cut off entirely. You could say, okay, I'm not going to have Wi-Fi. I'm going to just... This laptop is or computer is plugged in with there's these things called wires, okay, Ethernet, and you say, I'm going to only be on the Internet when I sit there. And I'm not just going to walk around my house on my tablet on Facebook constantly. Okay? Like that, it's just, it helps. It distracts. I'm in my office. If I don't have access to it, it would help. You can get off Facebook or, right? God's not on Facebook. Oh, it helps me connect with people. Not God. The true God does not have a Facebook page. Okay? Maybe that's not your thing. Your job? Is it your job? Is that the thing? If you imagine working a job and it was so hectic that for a week you couldn't eat a meal. I bet you'd quit. Especially if it happened more than once. You'd quit. You would at least begin steps to find alternative circumstances. Yeah? It's that serious, right? Friends, if you... I'll say that in a second. I'll say that in a second, right? This is tough. For the unusually demanding weeks, which are inevitable, right? Spouses, we can help each other here to give extra time. I'll take the kids. You take the kids. We'll make time. Husbands, help your wives. Guys, this is, oh man. This is the hardest part about preaching right here. We've got to give, if you have kids, you have to give your wives an hour every day. We've got to come home and take them for an hour. And you say, you do whatever you want for an hour. You can read, you can sleep. I don't know what y'all do. All right, crochet, whatever. Lift weights. I mean, I don't want to do that. Okay. We've got to do that. We don't have a choice. Wash your wife in the water of the Word. Wash her in the water of the Word. That's what it says. All right, that's really hard to do. It's really easy. Give her time to read the Bible. Okay. Have past life decisions that you've made, mistakes you made, decisions you made, seem to remove the present options. Right? Now, I don't have that flexibility you're talking about. And just quit, find another job. Yeah, maybe if I had done, maybe that's easy for you to say. Friends, your situation, absolutely, that's really real. It's really real. And God provides much grace. He will make that granola bar go a long way, if that's what it takes. Okay? That makes sense. We don't presume upon that grace. God can and will work around His usual means to ensure you are cared for. He will do that. But we should be striving and fighting for a better situation. Okay? Because even in this past life decisions you made that have made the present very difficult to be flexible, you still eat. I bet you every day. Okay? And we gave this advice before. You heard of fasting? You don't have time to read? I'd give up eating for a little bit. Okay? It can help. Now, third big thing. This is the most serious one, and there's a few different ways it manifests itself. Third thing, it keeps us away from this. If this is so amazing, why don't we go to it? Because we don't think it's so amazing. I don't go to this feast. I don't come to get this grace from this word because I don't want to. I don't feel like trying it. That's one version of it. I don't feel like trying it. I've never picked it up before because I don't feel like it. You know what I don't feel like doing? I don't feel like exercising. That's what I don't feel like doing. And you want to know the main reason I don't feel like exercising? Because I don't exercise. You know that, right? It's hard to get started. I don't want to do it because it's hard. Well, it's going to stay hard unless you do it. You have to do it anyways. It's going to start hard. Most of the time, it doesn't take too long until you start seeing a little bit of fruit. And you start seeing the results. And that can often have a positive feedback where you want it more. Do it anyways. Just like exercise. I don't want to. Why? Maybe it's because I tried it and it didn't work. I hear that all the time. I tried it. I didn't have this experience. I didn't feel grace. I didn't feel like I was meeting with God. Tried it, didn't work. That can come again a few ways. One is, maybe, did you try it? A lot of people look for a quick fix. I hear people all the time, "Oh, I tried working out, I couldn't lose any weight, couldn't get in shape." And they went to the gym twice. They ran once. Quick fixes. Now, "Oh, it didn't work. I tried it, didn't work. Didn't get any healthier." It's not how it works. You go, persevere, go after it. "Oh, I tried it, it didn't work." Did you try it? Were you doing it right? I've seen people exercise, right? They're curling like this, and they kind of run. They don't know how to push themselves. They run. The moment it gets hard, they stop. That's not exercise. You gotta try. Okay? Did you just pick up the book and did you pray? Have you gone to it with a mindset of I'm here to meet with you, God? Is that why you went to it? Did you say, "I want to know, I want to understand, what's the argument here? What's the flow? Why did you say this after this?" Okay? I know a guy who was a professing Christian for most of his life. He read through the Bible 7 times. He's now professing agnostic. As I talked to him, I found out he was going to the Bible because he just wanted to be the most knowledgeable amongst his friends. That's what his motivation was. That's not going to the Bible. You have not tried it. You have not tried it. You didn't go here for him, to be with him, to receive grace. For those of you who struggle with the understanding, you go, "I try to understand." May I recommend to you NLT, New Living Translation. New Living Translation is a great translation of the Bible to get you started on trying to follow it. Follow it. If you can't remember, there's some Johns, John Gospels, right there in the hallway. You can try it out. A little copy of the Gospel of John in the New Living Translation. Try it out. I think it will help you. "I flat don't want to. I tried it and it didn't work. I don't feel like it's working. I don't feel grace being delivered to me. I don't feel like I'm meeting with God." And so this is the last group, smallest probably, but the ones you want to sympathize and be most patient with. You weren't looking for a quick fix. You did come here seriously. You prayed fervently that God would reveal himself to you, meet you, stir you, move you in some way, maybe even with fasting. And you just didn't mean much. I got 4 things for you. First, don't give up. Okay? Keep reading, keep praying, keep listening to Bible teaching and sermons. The tell him you're not going to let him go until he blesses you. Okay? Persistent widow. Imitate her. Faith will say, "I know it's true. It says grace to you and peace with you and grace be with you. It says that. I don't feel that, but I'm going to believe it and I'm going to act on it." God will honor that. That's first. I'm going to go to it regardless of how I feel. Second, add to your prayer requests that God would reveal to you unrepentant sin. This may or may not be the issue, but it's probably worth asking, right? Anytime. The election is unconditional. Happiness is conditional. The enjoyment of sin and the enjoyment of God are incompatible. Okay? So we go to God and say, "What am I missing something? Am I missing something?" Maybe his kindness to you, the grace to you, friends, when you don't feel good, when you're not happy, and there's unrepentant sin in your life. That's a sensor. That's a warning. Okay? That's grace to you. Pray. Maybe there's something there. Ask that you be delivered and you'd have a distaste for it. Third, if you go, "I try this all the time, I don't get anything. I go to this book for years, I don't get anything out of it." Please talk to somebody about that. Satan wins so many battles over so many hearts by people going, "I'm embarrassed. I don't want to admit that. All right, I'm willing to admit that I don't have time." We're willing to admit that. We're not willing to admit, I just don't feel it. I'm just kind of going through the motions." You've got to talk to somebody about that. Ask him to pray for you. Ask him, maybe read together. That's a confession. God will help you just in the confession of it. I promise. And fourthly, finally, applicable to anyone, no matter whether you're a Christian or not, whatever which of these you struggle with. Fourthly, you've got to remember the gospel. The gospel says that Jesus died for your unwillingness to adjust your life to make time for His Word. He died for your laziness and not wanting to get up and, you know, turn that off or whatever. He died for your apathy towards Him. Those are all sins. Jesus died for them. Grace that removes the wrath of God from you reconciles you 100% independent of you. Independent of you. Like nearly everyone would say, hey, I get that. Yeah, we're not saved by our works. I get the Christian teaching on that, right? It's not saved by what we do. Why do you think it's saved by how you feel? Okay, your feelings save you no more than your works. Okay? Well, I don't feel saved. Well, that doesn't stop God from saving you. Okay? Jesus died on the cross. That's why you're saved. He rose again from the dead. God accepted the payment. Friends, and when you let that go, you're worried about the feelings. Folks, I don't feel like, and you just say, I don't have to feel a certain way. I don't have to. Odds are the feelings will come then. Okay? You're focused on them. You just rest. Just rest. God died for me. He saved me. He loves me. I'm accepted. I'm His child. Doesn't matter that I'm different. I'm just... Man. It's good. It's good. And we can go and rest and read and enjoy Him. You'll start to sense, I suspect. Okay? So, maybe we'll take just a minute quietly to ourselves. Ask God. Thank Him for the Word, maybe. Maybe you want to talk to Him about that, or maybe you just want to ask Him, hey, what do I need to do? What needs to change? So I can come, receive grace. I need the meal on a daily basis, and what do I need to do to get that? So just take 60 seconds, and then I'll conclude us in prayer, and we'll sing together. Father, thank You for meeting with us through the Word, for giving us such a readable access to it, so many different forms. May we not neglect it. May we go here and You help us, God. Help us to implement strategies and just because we love You. Give us that love, that willingness to adjust our lives, to meet with You regularly. And God, may You fulfill Your promise that Your Word accomplishes the purposes for which it's sent forth, and that it would not return to You void. So that when we obey and we come to be with You, You would meet with us daily, individually, corporately, together here. So change us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Grace Heritage Church meets in Auburn, Alabama. Services are held at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning at 1345 Annaloo Drive.